Okay, good. We'll go ahead and start class. I'll do about 5 minutes of lecture just to contextualize and explain the practice that we're going to be doing. So first off, the practice that we'll do today is what I call mentalizing the modes. And so let me just first step back and define some terms. So as usual, the kind of overarching idea of this meditation is this repatterning, this reconsolidation of negative kind of schemas and patterns, felt beliefs that we've, you know, learned and imprinted on ourselves. Or not imprinted on ourselves, but rather have been imprinted. And this is kind of consistent with coherence therapy or coherence theory, based on Bruce Eckert's work. So again, what do? We bring up the negative, we trigger it to make it kind of labile and movable, and then we pattern over it with something positive. And generally the way that I instruct that is with like an imaginal parent that understands your upset, helps you understand it, validates that it is an upsetting situation, soothes, calms, consoles, receives, responds to you in a way to kind of help you move through it. And then we will do like this kind of like a dissonant and we'll reinforce something dissonant and positive. So something that's opposite to the old negative schema will imprint, in a sense, will imprint this new positive schema over the negative, and that makes the negative fall away. Okay, good. That's the overarching kind of idea of the meditation. However, today we'll be doing a different meditation than usual. Like I said, we'll be doing this mentalizing the modes practice. So first, let me define a mode. So I'm drawing mode from schema therapy. Modes are similar to parts, and we'll keep this, the definition and how we look at this, very simple. So a mode is just like a mood plus a behavior. And they're maladaptive. And what they are is they're, well, I don't know about maladaptive, but they're responses to the pain of your negative schemas, your negative views of life. So let me give you an example. It's much easier to understand with the example. If you have the defectiveness and shame schema, let's say it comes up in relationships, in romantic relationships, you could kind of, so there'll be, and the modes that we'll go over, just there's three main ones. There's three main sets of modes. Surrender. So you could surrender to the schema. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm, you know, I just have to accept these kind of like bad treatment. I'm no better than this. Okay, this is fine. And you kind of believe the negative message of the schema, and that's how you deal with it. And it's not really mature or optimal. The next is you avoid it. So let's just say that you feel this shame of the inability to connect with others, because, or let's just say you have a sense of shame, and so then you avoid connecting with others. And that would be an avoidance manifestation of the mode. You know, you could like drink, or, you know, watch Netflix by yourself, or like work too much. Like, so a workaholic mode could likely be an avoidance mode. And then there's an overcompensation mode. And so using the same schema of defectiveness and shame, an overcompensation mode manifestation would be like, let's say, workaholism, but in order to get better than, and to kind of prove that the schema is wrong. So you're doing the opposite of the schema. Or maybe you're aggressive and shaming with others. That would be an overcompensation mode relative to this schema of shame and defectiveness. Also, I've mentioned schema. I didn't define that yet. I should have defined that a moment ago. So schema is just this kind of felt sense belief about the world that, in a sense, they can be positive or negative. Like, oh, I'm the type of person that can get things done. So that would be like a kind of felt sense belief and emotional learning. Or the schema that we're going to be focusing on in this meditation class, and also I'm gonna give a retreat Sunday in a week, and we'll be focusing on it. But those schemas are the negative schemas, the maladaptive schemas. And again, so we already mentioned defectiveness and shame. There are other schemas like, and I'm drawing from Jeffrey Jung's schema therapy here, mistrust and abuse, social isolation, alienation, dependence, incompetence, enmeshment or underdeveloped self. All of these are schemas. And so now let me reiterate, well, then there's one more word to define, and then I'll kind of reiterate exactly what we'll be doing, and we'll be meditating here in 3 minutes. So generally in the meditations that I teach, we really focus on the emotionally corrective experience, which is, again, bringing up the negative schema, repatterning over it. However, in this meditation, we'll be doing a lot of mentalization exercises. Now, what does mentalization mean? Mentalization, the way I like to think about it is it has to do with perspective taking. It's like, can you step back? Can you see your own thoughts? Can you understand your own emotions? Can you understand the emotions of another? Can you understand their thoughts? Can you understand how when the two of you come together, there's this dynamic that's created with kind of how, in as much as that they're having thoughts, they're having feelings, you're having thoughts, you're having feelings, and it like co-creates something, right? And then also part of that, and again, reiterating that it's like has to do with perspective taking. It's like, you know, do you understand cause and effect? It's like, aha, this mood arises for me. I am upset in this way. I respond in this way. Then this, let's say, negative or positive response is elicited from the other. And then just having a sense for that and how all that works. And that's mentalization. And then let me give you one more definition of mentalization that I think is not a good definition, but it's like memorable and kind of helps you get to the point. It's thinking about thinking, right? So, you know, again, there you can see that quality of perspective taking. So just to reiterate, we'll be doing mentalization building exercises in this meditation. And again, a stronger emphasis on the mentalization piece than the emotionally corrective piece, which is not typical for the way I teach. All right, good. I think that's it. And then I'll be able to stay a little bit longer today so we can take questions at the end of class. Also, if you didn't follow all of that, don't worry about it. All of this is gonna be reiterated in the meditation. Okay, good. So go ahead and sit up straight. Push the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. So the spine is long, the neck is elongated, the chin is tucked, the shoulders are back and down just a bit, the chest is up and out just a bit, and there's a slight forward tilt in the hips. That allows the abdomen to rise and fall freely. Okay, good. Now we're gonna take 3 deep breaths. We'll hold each breath for as long, you will hold it as long as is comfortable, and then release it slowly. So go ahead and inhale very, very deeply and retain the breath below the abdomen. Now exhale slowly, extending the length of the exhale. Okay, now inhale deeply. retain the breath below the abdomen. Exhale. Now inhale deeply, retaining the breath below the abdomen. Exhale. And now noticing how you're already starting to settle in. Okay, good. Now we'll start with a body scan, and then we'll focus on feeling emotions in the body. This is important because it helps us stay somatic and emotional during the meditation. And in a sense, that's the whole point. We're trying to make emotional experiences that repattern over the negative ones. So, okay. Feel the feet, legs, and hips. And the feet, legs, and hips relax. And now feel the abdomen rising and falling. Notice how there's no straining. The meditation just takes care of itself. Notice it's just gentle observation of the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now feel the chest expand and contract. And now feel the upper back, shoulders, arms, and hands. And now feel the head, neck, and face. Okay, good. And now take a deep, deep breath. Feel the whole body all at once. And now exhale, feeling the whole body relax, release all at once. And now notice how there's this spaciousness, openness, ease, and relaxation. Good. And now bring your attention to where you feel emotions or kind of emotional flavors in the body. That's likely in the chest, heart area, shoulders, neck, face and head, possibly stomach. And see if you can note, so see if you can label an emotion in the body. For me, there's a kind of pressure in the chest, which feels like a bit of sadness or mourning. There's also a slight smile on the face, which feels like happiness. So just go ahead and keep noticing your emotions in the body. That's right, keep going. Good. Now letting that go. And what we're going to do here in a moment is identify the problematic mode or part that we want to work on today. And just a reminder as to what a mode is. A mode is, and we'll just focus on these three types, like a surrender mode. So kind of when you believe the negative kind of implication of the schema, and then you kind of submit to it. So you surrender to the negative belief. An avoidance mode. So that's where you avoid the pain of the schema. So if you have like the social isolation schema, that would be like you avoid social contact so you don't feel this isolation and alienation. Or it could be like an overcompensation mode where you kind of try to do the opposite of the schema. So maybe you work really hard so you don't feel your worthlessness. Or maybe if you have the social isolation schema, you go out and socialize a lot or something to that effect in a way that's kind of neurotic and maladaptive. So go ahead and pick one mode or part that you want to work on. Okay, and then just briefly, is this sound, I just changed something about the audio. Is this okay if somebody has their camera on? I think this should be slightly better than before. So just send me a note if it's a problem. Okay, good. So come into, pick one of the modes that you wanna work on and go ahead and name it. Name it in a way that resonates for you.
Like, I'm going to work on my workaholic mode, which is a combination of avoidance and overcompensation. Okay. And now review some of the thoughts, some of the behaviors, some of the beliefs, image thoughts, auditory thoughts that come up when you're in this mode. And now feel those, feel all of that in the body. There'll be a certain kind of signature way that the mode shows up in the body. Feel that now. Now ask yourself, where did this mode or this part come from? These modes are means of kind of dealing with difficult circumstances, of kind of dealing, of emotionally regulating around the schemas, right? And then the schemas are just unmet needs that have ossified into beliefs about the world. So where did this mode come from? What unmet need does this go back to? Some of the possible unmet needs would be a sense of belonging, stability, safety, being delighted in, getting support, attunement, or support for your autonomy and explorations. So go ahead and investigate that. Where did this mode come from for you? Really opening up, giving lots of space to whatever's arising for you. And also, if this is a bit upsetting or triggering, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We're going to work through this together. So really let it come up with its full force. Now also see how this is all just conditioning. This is not who you are. Just stimulus and response. Your body and mind reacted in just the same way that any other human would react to this condition. It's all just causal and not unique to you. You're actually blameless around all of this. Now see that now, investigate that now. Keep going. And now, for the mode in question, or the part in question, what are its functions? Let's contemplate its functions. Why do you do this behavior? There's something protective and helpful about this. It might not be, it might be a little bit miscalibrated now in adulthood, but it serves many purposes. So see why you keep doing this. What are the benefits? And really investigate it with a sense of fair-mindedness. Now, you may have been doing this, but go ahead and really investigate the benefits. Now, we're not going to convince ourselves to hold on to these modes or these parts. But in order to be fair-minded, we have to see the benefits. We have to see what this does for us. So how are these modes functional in your life? How are they of benefit? And they most surely are. Really study these benefits. And now, we're going to study what unfolds when we get into these modes. So let's just say you get into one of your overcompensation, surrender, or avoidance modes. And then what happens? What does the rest of the day look like for you? Now, don't feel bad about this. None of this is actually your fault. We're just studying this like an anthropologist, just studying the way our minds work. So go ahead and do that now. Now, we're going to do something very similar, but just a little bit more tightly guided. We're going to look at what indulging these kind of maladaptive, problematic modes does in our work life, social life, internal life, and personal explorations. But we'll just start with work life. So when you get into these modes, or into this mode in question, what does your work life look like? What does this do in terms of your work life? Study that for just a minute. Thank you. Okay. So getting into this mode, what does it do to your social life? Your interpersonal life? And really give yourself permission to see things just as they are. You're not sugarcoating at all. And don't worry, we're going to work through this. So acknowledging the difficulty of it all is not threatening. We're going to work through it together. And now, what are the effects on your intrapersonal life? So that means your internal life. So you get into this mode or even series of modes. Then what are the thoughts that you believe about yourself? What are the emotions? What is the internal experience like? Really investigate that with this quality of openness, curiousness, and study. Again, how does this affect your internal life, your mental and emotional life inside? And now, what are the effects on your personal explorations? So I think much of what's wonderful about life is just getting to go off and do the things that we find personally meaningful, the explorations that we enjoy. However, when you get into these modes that you're looking at, there's a certain habit pattern that opens up, that manifests around your explorations. Do these modes get in the way, or do they make your explorations take on a certain character, maybe one that's not quite as satisfying as it could be? So investigate that. Okay, and so here in a moment, we'll do a time dilation. We'll look at what our lives will be like if we let these modes or these parts go unaddressed. So into the future. However, before we do that, I just want to say, just open up to this. Look at this. We're not trying to make ourselves feel bad. We just want to see things clearly as they are, knowing that we will take what we find here and use it as a motivation to move through this. So don't worry, be at ease around this. But now here's the question. So if you keep indulging these modes, if these modes keep coming up and in a sense ruling your life, what does your life look like 6 months from now? Contemplate that. Now, what does your life look like 3 years from now that these modes keep ruling you. And now, 10 years from now, and now, what about 30 years from now? What does your life look like if you keep indulging these modes kind of unconsciously? Okay, now, just to reiterate, the way that Jeffrey Young talks about the modes is that they're caused by the pain of the schemas. And the schemas are, in a sense, these kind of ossified, negative fixed views that resulted from negative emotional learnings, likely from childhood, but they can be from any point in life. So what was the unmet need? What is the negative schema that powers these modes? Maybe it's like mistrust and abuse. Maybe it's defectiveness and shame. Maybe it's a sense that you've not gotten enough love, understanding, empathy. Maybe it's a sense of incompetence. Just go ahead and pick one of those that seems most salient to you. Okay, and now see if you can trigger yourself. Really come into this schema. How do you view the world when you're believing this schema? How do you think you need to react to that constructed world when you're in this schema? Really feel that in the body, feel that in the mind. And now, imagine yourself floating up above yourself and now floating back to childhood on a timeline. And now a scene will arise where you learned this negative schema, where this learning kind of was imprinted on you. And this can be a real scene, a real memory, or it can be like a composite felt sense memory. Either is fine. I'm going to review that. And here, really get triggered around this. And now have the imaginal parents come and they either take you out of the scene or you can stay in the scene, either one, whatever's better. And they start tending to you, caring for you. They see exactly what this is like. They know that these experiences were difficult to go through. And there's this quality of complete receptivity and total responsiveness. So go ahead and develop that scene. I'll check in with you in about 1 minute. That's right, keep going. These imaginal parents really understand you. They understand what you went through. And it is so clear to them that it's not your fault. And your reaction to it is totally reasonable. Anybody would have reacted the same way. That's right. Keep developing the scene. Now also, you can notice this joy that the parents take in tending to you. It's very trustworthy. They really enjoy helping you out. And that helps you not worry about their mental states, not worry about how you're presenting, and just totally just get your needs met. So keep developing that scene. You can talk to the parents. You can have them do whatever it takes to help you move through this. That's right. Keep going. And also, now see how this will not happen again, this negative thing, this negative conditioning, because you're with these parents now, these parents that are perfectly responsive to you. And that also helps you settle and see how that there are new possibilities. That's right. And now notice how you're so perfectly received and attentively responded to for just whatever's coming up, and that it doesn't matter what happens. How you present, you're always responded to in just the right way. Keep developing the scene. That's right. Keep going. And now, if this resonates for you, and you should only do this if you want, have the parents go back to this original scene and take a corrective action. If you were treated unkindly, have the parents confront this person that treated you this way, or if there was some sort of loss, the parents magically make this go away. Or maybe you need to express yourself to maybe someone in the past, or express yourself about this situation. So now go back and make a corrective action. Also, if someone treated you poorly, that person can apologize, acknowledge what was done. But again, develop this as you see fit. I'll give you about 1 minute, then I'll check in on you. That's right. Keep going. That's right. Shape and reshape the scene in such a way to really get your needs met entirely. The parents respond and receive you in just the right way. You really feel supported. And now maybe this last scene brought up some more emotion, maybe sadness, grief, maybe anger. Have the parents see that and respond to you in just the right way around it. And it's so clear that no matter what your feelings are, it's perfectly fine. And now we've already done a lot of work around this at this point. Get this sense that you've kind of worked through something here. It's so clear you can see things from a different angle. That there's been some healing. There's likely more work to be done, but there's been some healing. And now have the internal parents see that. They see how you've moved through this. Also, now ask yourself, what's the trajectory of my life given that I've moved through some of my problems here so easily, so quickly? See how life will be much easier going forward. There'll be a lightness to your step. You won't be dragging this conditioning around with you any longer. So now imagine your life going forward, your real adult life, unfolding in a way where you feel confident, competent. There's a sense of efficacy, agency. And it makes sense. You have so much support. You also have so much self-mastery. So go ahead and develop that scene now. And now specifically, develop the scene in such a way that it proves to you the very opposite of this old negative schema that you worked on. So if it's like social isolation, see yourself being social. If it's defectiveness and shame, see yourself with a healthy pride. So go ahead and develop that scene where you're working on the opposite of the negative belief, where it's unfolding. That's right. And now have the imaginal parents see what you're doing. Oh, they're so proud of you. You're doing such a good job. You feel so supported. That's right, keep developing the scene. Now really feel this in the body. What does this feel like? You might have a sense of self, of healthy pride, a sense of lightness, of ease. And you can really see how this changes the whole trajectory of your life. Things will be so much easier and lighter. And now we're coming to the end. So now dissolve the scene and look back. What was this like for you? What were your insights? What are the take-home lessons? Contemplate that for just a minute. And now notice how, just based on the insights that you've had, you feel more competent. You have a greater sense of mastery in your life. You've learned these lessons. There's this positive trajectory for your life now. Now feel into that one more time. Okay, good. And now release that. Bring the attention to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now open the eyes halfway, but keep following the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now open the eyes entirely and let the meditation go. Okay. That's it. So we can take a few minutes I don't have any pressing obligations right now, so I'm happy to hang out and talk. And also, I think it's useful to do practice reports because it helps normalize other people's experience. Because I'm sure that like all of our experience generally will kind of follow one arc, and then hearing about other people's experiences is helpful. So, but yeah, if there are any practice reports or comments, questions, we can take those now. And you can just unmute yourself, or if you want, you can raise your hand, I'll call on you. You can post a question in the chat or whatever.
I'll do a practice report.
Sure.
Thank you very much for the meditation.
Sure.
And I'm still processing the forgiveness workshop last week too. So I noticed that there was some resistance that came up right in the beginning.
Okay. Uh-huh.
but as we proceeded through, it felt like I was able to kind of open up to new things. And that was really nice. And just getting a much better sense of what it feels like to be with my ideal parents in my body, and and the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
You know, how there's not a lot of mixed messages, and it's just like this coherent energy that there's no extra stuff in there. It's just you know, love and straightforwardness. And so it feels really good to start to get a clear picture and feeling of So, thank you.
What you say resonates. And it's like also, you know, part of what we're doing is just kind of recapitulating and just like fabricating this experience of what it would be like to have gotten ideal parenting at, let's say, the age of two, which, you know, if you think about it, it's not very cognitive. There's not a lot going on. It's just nice, right? It's just simple. And also it's very body-based, like you're just feeling it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, great report, Eve. Nethra, go ahead and speak up.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I just want to begin by saying thank you so much. This is my second week doing this, and it's absolutely fantastic. I'm still getting used to the terms and how this is done, but I can already feel the results. And today was especially good because like you said, it has a wonderfully somatic component, and being able to access that. I also practice in the unified mind conditions and system. So I was able to, you know, the feel out and the typical we do there. So I find it extremely easy to integrate that into this.
Yeah,
I do have, because I'm still pretty new to this, I think I had a lot of stuff come up that I didn't know quite how to deal with, but I'm sure once I keep doing this, I'll get better at it.
Okay.
One thing I want to ask you is about, so when you go back and try to resolve the experience that you've had, the conditioning that you've had, either by imagining what the parent says to you, or you have to express to your parent.
Yeah.
I find that when I do it, the module or the part of me that sort of works, that story, right? The story sort of dissolves rapidly.
Uh-huh.
And I come back to the present as an adult, right?
Okay.
So I find that adult a little bit confused about how to handle it, because I think this part of me has been living in that story for a long time, sort of integrated it as part of my identity. So suddenly when I'm given, even though I'm given a good option of having imagined that, there is a chance that this could have been good, this is how it went, probably because I don't quite know. That's not a fact. And this is just something, well, to put it simply, it's a fabrication of my mind. And
correct.
I think my mind refuses to believe that. No, that is not how it happened. This is how it happened. And this is confusing for me. How do you want me to deal with it? Suddenly you put me into a good place and I'm supposed to accept that kind of a thing. How would you recommend I handle that? Should I stay with the feeling and wait for it to eventually adjust to reality, or is there something else I can do to sort of bring it back safely into the present, where the present is acceptable to that, shall we say, the present self as an adult, where I'm in the present and I can understand it from the present perspective that, okay, I've integrated into this experience, rather than, because right now I feel like that child or that part is sort of hanging somewhere in the middle, not knowing where to go, where to go into the comfortable complaining mode or feeling bad mode that was in the past, or the amazingly integrated present mode. So how do you address that transition?
Okay, so there's a lot here, and I'm just gonna try to speak to it, but then I want you to kind of give me feedback to see if I'm getting it right. So the first thing that I'd say is that, you know, and like you were saying, it kind of takes a while to kind of get it. Like, and like, what are we doing? Like, what are we after here? And the core of what we're after is feeling into and triggering first a negative felt sense belief about the world, the self and world. And what's really important is it's an emotional learning. It's not a cognitive learning as such, although it has cognitive implications, et cetera. And so again, we bring it up and then we repattern over it with what? With another emotional learning. And so one of the real tricks for doing this kind of practice is this kind of, and to be clear, it's a practice and you learn it, but you learn to suspend disbelief. Right? And then let's just get crystal clear from the get-go. There is absolutely nothing realistic about anything in this meditation. If you're looking for realistic, go somewhere else. I can't help you. Like, this is completely, and you use the word fabricated. This is completely fabricated. And now what are we doing? We are, and I really like to kind of like use even like language that further pushes the point. Like, we are bringing up fake experiences. We're bringing up fake scenes that give us a fake experience, but it imprints and it changes our worldview. And again, this is, now here, the way I'm explaining this is from a perspective of skillful means. This is just skillful means, and you're hallucinating this stuff. But then generally to speak to kind of the tenor of your questions and comments, is that what you're reporting is completely normal. Nothing wrong with it. This is, and what else? And then also the other thing is that, and then now, and you mentioned, you know, unified mindfulness, Shinzen Yang. So one thing that Shinzen talks about is, he says, and I think he often will say this in the context of explaining equanimity practices, which he'll say, the body wants to be comfortable and the mind wants to know. So there's still this quality of the mind wanting to know. It's like, well, what does this mean? And like, oh, what is this? And this is not making sense to me. And I mean, I think some of that work and trying to make sense of it is good. But then also what we learn in this practice is to just drop the need to make sense and just to open up to the exercise. Let's see here. That based on the notes that I took from what you were saying, that's what was coming up. But is there anything else around this, and am I getting it right? Or am I speaking to your question?
Yes, you did. Absolutely, you did. And I must say, I thoroughly enjoyed this exercise. I think it's just about getting used to it. I'm still new to this system. Uh-huh. Once I get used to it, I'll get the core of what this concept is about.
Yep.
So I think this definitely spoke to me today. I can already see some of the somatic changes that I was able to experience and let go. And it brought up a lot of interesting questions for me to deal with as well.
Right.
I definitely benefited. Thank you so much.
Great. Super. Thank you, Nethra. And then, you know, just like, we can do like 1 minute of an experiential exercise right now. So just kind of, you can close the eyes. And this is for everybody. Push the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. Maybe take one deep breath. Exhale. And now look back to the schema, this kind of belief, or the mode, either one. And just notice how very likely the triggering is already less. Like, it's less compelling. Frankly, I'm kind of confused on, what did I even work on? What was my issue? And this is actually an important step. We need to prove to ourselves that these practices are working. Otherwise, we might be wasting our time. But notice how, you know, the trigger, you can't quite find it the same way you did. It's just not quite as alive. And I would suggest to you that this is evidence that you have, in fact, partially patterned over it. You'll be lighter as a result. Okay, good. Letting that go. Okay. Vera, go ahead and speak up.
Thank you, Cedric. Thank you so much for your effective and healing support extended in a deep-rooted way. I'm sure I'm new to understanding these words and I'm just begin my healing journey, but I hope I'll be able to understand it more. This is something that I need your personal suggestion or a view.
Sure.
On something that I'm struggling with the relational trauma. I actually have lost my mother 3rd year, just 3 years old, and had a father neglect and, you know, very, very difficult childhood. Emotionally unavailable parenting. So I've got into a relationship, a sort of partner, for the last 2 years. And so she seems to be, her actions, words, everything is abusive in terms of, non-integrity or not showing emotional availability. And so while she's there physically, but I don't truly connect and vibrate with her integrity and the way she's available to me emotionally. So as I need a mutuality, inclusiveness, trust, authenticity, and, some sort of, resonance that, yes, I truly want you, that I'm not able to get up late. So I've just started walking out away from this relationship, but I'm in a dilemma, where would I, when I say that, no, I need to walk away from it, but I feel, she's not a stimulus, or she's not the cause. You have a trauma within you, so that is triggering you. So why do you want it to punish her or ask her away, away from you? Was one part. The second part says, no. The moment you see her, the moment you talk to her, the moment you have her presence, then you get into this emotionally wanting, needing her for more.
Sure.
Looking and waiting for her. So, it says that, why don't you be with it? Whatever you're getting, just get it and then mourn what you don't get. So with these two dilemmas, I've been spending for months together. I'm unable to decide, but at times I stop her work, stop her to come or walk away. After some time, I'll again, she comes and gets us connected. So I'm into this cycle of pattern repetitively happening last 3 to 6 months. So I wanted to really have a closer to it. It's been too much of, my healing is getting halted and, I'm getting drained.
So let me go ahead and speak to what you've mentioned so far. Firstly, just to be clear, I'm a meditation teacher. I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a relationship psychologist particularly, or a counselor. So you should take whatever I say with a grain of salt. So in a sense, speaking from an area that I somewhat know, I think like you're saying and like you're doing, really focus on your own healing. Do these meditations. If you can manage to get some psychotherapy, that's helpful. Do other meditations like, metta, tonglen, compassion practices. This really helps. Also, it's helpful to have community support. So, get contact with those people that you find kind of emotionally regulating to be around, et cetera. So that's one thing that I would say. And I think, I just want to just also direct you to see how you really are. I think you're developing some mindfulness and some ability to monitor yourself, monitor the relationship. And I think that you're asking the right questions, right? But again, I can certainly recommend that you keep going with these meditations, keep doing your own healing. And then I think as a result, there will be change in your relationships. And I think also, and this is just very generic advice, I think it can be helpful to set healthy boundaries. but that, so one piece that I think might be helpful is to understand that, you know, the attachment mechanism goes off and we want to connect. And if there's, if we have disturbed attachment, we'll typically connect with people that kind of, where there's a certain chemistry around that disturbance in attachment. So I'm just trying to like somewhat validate how you see it, and that yes, there's some problems in the relationship, but outside of that, and outside of just yes, keep going with the your healing practice. That's what's coming up for me. And again, this is a little bit outside of my area of expertise.
Yeah, but if I sorry to ask a specific question, that do you suggest that walking away from that relation and then focusing on healing is advisable, or being in that and then see how you could heal and also look at the relationship is advisable? Because looking at myself now from future, what is the healthy recovery plan as a personal suggestion from you?
Right, and the answer is I don't know. However, I'll say that I believe that healing is done, is much easier to do when you have social support and connection, and I actually think even a life partner. However, that might not be the case if the life partner is pretty toxic. And to be clear, I do not have any idea how good or bad she is for you, but I just want to say that I think support, attachment, connection with a real person is very helpful for the healing process. So yeah, well, thank you for your questions, Vera. I'll go ahead and take Dee's comment. So go ahead and speak up, Dee.
Hey, Cedric. Hey. You asked for feedback on this meditation in particular. Sure. So I have a clarifying question.
Sure.
When you ask us to get really triggered about the schema, what precisely are you looking for?
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. This is a great question. So you just really want to feel it. And it's like, it feels really compelling. You're also like kind of seeing it. You're seeing like, you're kind of, in a sense, your distorted worldview. And then you're also feeling all the pain of it. Basically that. So there's like, I think there's a cognitive element of like, oh, I see what my schema is. And then, when I ask like, okay, well, what does this schema tell you about the world, and then how you react to the world when you're believing that thought, so to speak. And then also just the somatic component and emotional component, just feeling it. Is that clarifying, or is that just kind of
repeating? Yeah, that is clarifying, actually, since I interpreted it like just looking for the somatic and not cognitive.
Yep. And I think it's both. And to be clear, I think the somatic and emotional is more important than the cognitive. But then what's cool about the cognitive is you like see it, you see the structure, you see how there's a coherence. And like, I kind of like this, it's like, okay, each one of these shitty schemas of ours is like a syndrome. So it's like you come into the syndrome, and then you see the world from the syndrome, and you're feeling the syndrome. And then also, there's also just simply like a wisdom element piece. There's like, oh, I just know what my problem is. Oh, I just see how I have this distortion. I can name it. And, drawing from the 12-step tradition, there's an old saying, if you can name it, you can tame it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Thanks.
Good. Sure. Yeah. Thank you for your question, Dee. Go ahead and speak up, Pooja.
Hi, Cedric, can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh.
Thank you for this meditation. And also, I have a general question. I've been doing IPF. I mean, I've been delving into IPF a little for some time. And I come from a background where I have a little bit of experience with EFT. So what my experience was that we release all of the emotion in order to get a somatic relief and get a cognitive shift.
Uh-huh.
That is how it changed. But here, I feel like it is getting an imaginary co-regulation from an ideal parents and go for a felt sense repatterning. So my question is, does that happen over recursive Over repetitive meditations that we get a full emotional release, or should we just release emotions first and then when we feel slightly less emotional, then we go for repatterning, then we go for a positive experience?
Okay, well, first off, when you say EFT, is that emotional freedom technique, or yes. Is it, okay, because there's also emotionally focused therapy, which is really good as well. So I'm going to take a shot at answering your question from the way I understand it, but I might not be understanding it correctly. So firstly, these techniques are not cathartically oriented. So it's not just about like really just coming into this grief, really getting upset. Like that's generally part of it. And I think it's a healthy part of it, but it's not obligatory. And what you want to do is like, again, you get triggered and then you get you get attuned with and calmed and cared for, et cetera, with this kind of receptivity and responsiveness of the parents. Mm-hmm. And then that what that does is it kind of opens up, like it gives you a deep permission and it makes it kind of safe and okay. And it gives you a container to have your emotional experience. And then that might be what in your language, emotional release. And then kind of once that, and what's really interesting is this is like a natural system and it just kind of unwinds itself with this kind of certain pattern. And it's quite kind of predictable and it might take 1 minute, it might take 20 minutes, but it all kind of goes through the same arc. And then, so when you kind of get to the point where you really are settled, and then that's where you emphasize this kind of dissonant belief, like the opposite of the negative belief of the schema. And then that just further helps to repattern it. But let me just step back and that the absolute core of this is negative schema, repattern over with a positive. Well, just being permitted to have your experience, being accommodated, soothed, received, responded to is already a positive opposite of the schema. But then we just like further just like push the envelope and reinforce the positive opposite. Is that speaking to your question? Is there more around that?
I mean, I'm trying to understand what is the efficacy in terms, is this way to do it in a titrated way and just like slightly touching the schema and then repatterning,
yep.
Touching again and repatterning?
Yes, okay. Yes. That also works. That is good. Like what we do is we like feel it really, like really heavily, very strongly, and then we repattern. And then, yeah, what you want to do is go back, touch into it. Is it there? Then you get triggered again, repattern, get soothed, etc., until it's gone. And then you like really push the envelope on the positive opposite.
Okay. Yeah, that answers my question. And another thing, like when you say to pick one thing, I get emotionally overwhelmed and it's all mixed up for me because all of the things were missing, like safety, attunement, delight. Oh. So it all gets mixed up and I can't just pick one thing. So
okay. That's a really good question. And I think that there's not really a good answer to it. I think that we just have to be patient. We have to work on whatever is coming up for us that moment and just do our best. And I think, and that like, the advice I'm about to give you sucks, okay? This really sucks. But you have to just be patient with the process and just work on the one thing that's like most triggering, most difficult for you at that moment.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'm afraid I need to run. So thank you
this
all for...
Small question, Svedrik. What is the schema we are referring here? Schema means, could you help me
understand? Yeah, sure. Schema in this context, it's just like an emotional belief about the world and other. And so it could be either positive or negative. Generally speaking, we're going to be focusing on the negative ones to repattern them and actually pattern over them with a positive schema. Like, let me give you an example. No one likes me. that's a negative schema and a negative emotional learning. And then the positive emotional learning is I'm liked, I'm loved, etc. Okay, good. All right. Okay, see you all in a week. And then if you're not signed up to the email list, you can sign up. I'll send out an email this week advertising the workshop that I'm going to run on Sunday in a week from now. Okay, all righty. See y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Cedric.
Sure.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Cedric, do you recommend a book to read to understand these concepts?
Actually, you know, one book that I think is fantastic is Understanding the Emotional Brain by Bruce Eckert. That's the one that we're reading right now in the book club. It's fantastic.
How do you spell his name, please?
Ecker, Ecker. Unlocking the Emotional Brain. Okay.
Unlocking the Emotional Brain.
Yep, that's right. Okay, bye-bye.
Eric, is it Eric?
Bruce Eckert.
Okay, thank you.